Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. Des Moines ComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks very much for being with us. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the past few months, anyway, about what a livable wage is, what a minimum wage is. And recently, as many of you know, in Johnston County, they raised the minimum wage in that county. Other areas across the country have already taken examples from what's going on in Washington and what's going on in San Francisco and other major metropolitan areas. And recently, the Polk County Board of Supervisors put together a commission to study what might be the minimum wage here in Iowa. Tom Hockensmith, a supervisor, spoke to that several weeks ago when he was a guest. And in studio with us right now is the president of the Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. His name is Ken Sager, and he's a member of this commission. So we called Ken and said, hey, Ken, tell us what's going on. Ken, welcome to the NewsHour. Grateful to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So how many members on this commission?
Oh, let's see. I think each of the five folks who are supervisors appointed to, right. And then there's three supervisors, Brownell, Hockensmith, and Morrow serve on it. So I guess technically 13.
That's a lot of folks. Can you come to a consensus with that many people?
Oh, I think people of good conscience can come to consensus on a lot of things.
A lot of things. Well, you've spent your life trying to build consensus, haven't you?
Seems like it.
Seems like it. Your day job, tell folks what it is that you do during the day.
As president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, we're kind of like the coalition group that covers the labor movement here in the state of Iowa. We try to work on education programs, legislative programs, political programs, provide services for 550 member organizations.
That's a bunch of folks.
It's about 240,000 folks across the state of Iowa.
All right, let's talk about the minimum wage. You know, there's been so much political talk about this, and there's sectors of the community that says, hey, look, $7.25 an hour is just fine because it's mostly kids out there that are working on these jobs. And besides, if we raise the rates any further, a Big Mac is going to cost $15 when you go in and get one. So what's going on with the commission? Where are you guys at? And I think I know what your stance is, but I'm going to let you talk about it.
So far, the commission has had one meeting. We're kind of being directed to try to put this thing together, give some feedback to the Board of Supervisors by September so they can make a decision and move the ball down the field on this.
Now, if you come back with a higher wage rate, would that it depends on whatever the supervisors say, I suspect, but would that impact all businesses in Polk County or just the governmental businesses? It's all how they write whatever the ruling is,
pretty
correct?
Much going to be based upon the law that was passed in Johnson County, I think, is kind of where they're looking at. I can't obviously say that 100% certainty, but clearly that's kind of where they're shooting towards, giving some of the communities the opportunity to opt out or effectively vote to lower the minimum wage for their constituents. It's an interesting prospect.
Yeah, and how did that work over in Johnson County so far?
Pretty much, there's, I think, three or four of the smaller communities have opted not to accept the minimum wage increases, effectively lowering the wages for their low-wage workers in their communities, which I think that's going to have a detrimental impact on their ability to hire people in the future.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to go where the money is, I would suspect.
One would assume.
Yeah, one would assume. Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. So where are you on this? I don't want you to – you're not speaking for the commission. I understand that. But as far as Ken Sager is going, the Federation of Labor, where are you guys at?
Well, across the country right now, you're seeing a big fight for $15 an hour. And I think that's a legitimate number because if you look at what happened over the years with the purchasing power of – the minimum wage, it's degraded to the point where I guess I would defy anybody to try to raise a family and be a contributing part of the community at $7.25 an hour. It's just unsustainable. It's kind of like people, if you accept that as a living wage, which clearly it is not, I don't understand how you in good conscience can run a business assuming that the taxpayers of Polk County, of Des Moines, of the state of Iowa are going to subsidize your workforce, whether it's with food, whether it's a heating assistance, housing assistance, transportation assistance, or childcare assistance, because that's fundamentally what you're saying when you're paying those kind of non-socially sustaining wages, is that I don't care. I'll let the citizens of this great state subsidize my workforce.
And that fact in itself would cause, I would think, many people a problem.
I would hope it would. I mean, we've been meeting with a lot of the faith community folks across the county here, across the state, actually. And there's a lot of support for doing something here. The something thing gets a little bit questionable because, you know, we start saying, well, you know, really you need to have $22 an hour. And, of course, everybody freaks out. But, I mean, you start thinking about the kind of money that most folks have to have. What's child care cost you? You might be a week or two past childbearing.
I am a couple of weeks. But, I mean, when you add up the cost of child care, you add up the cost of public school education. I mean, you know, when you and I went to public schools, it was really public schools, and we went to class. You know,
right.
Our folks didn't have to dig deep for all kinds of pencils and supplies and or being asked by the school, please donate to this, please donate to that, just so that we can keep the doors open.
Right.
And so times today are relatively, you know, different. And the numbers of individuals here in Polk County that are on free and reduced lunches in some of our public schools is shocking. If people
very high,
yeah,
very high,
it's very high.
If that's any indication, we've got a big problem.
Hmm.
I know Supervisor Morrow has been working very hard to try to raise up the issue of food insecurity. And, you know, a lot of the issues that are facing us in this county, across this nation, really, are due to a lack of resources that people have to spend to support their families.
Mm.
I mean, we can't decry the fact that our children are fundamentally raising themselves or, you know, nobody's
well,
watching
dad,
them.
If mom and dad have to work two and three jobs.
Absolutely. Many of these jobs, these low-wage jobs, aren't 40-hour-a-week jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to work two or three jobs. It's pretty tough thing to juggle and raise kids.
Now, there are organizations out there and groups that are wanting to hold fast with regard to the $7.25 an hour, or saying, well, look, isn't there some kind of a way that we can make this somehow scalable so that if you're a 17-year-old kid, you get $7.25 an hour. If you're a 34-year-old person, you get $12 an hour, or whatever the number is. But how do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, basically you're saying, can we have exceptions to the minimum wage? Okay, can we have exceptions to which humans don't need to eat, which humans don't need clothing, which humans don't need a roof over their head? I mean, what exceptions are we talking about? Because fundamentally, when you're saying that, well, Joe, because he's 15 or 17 or pick an age, he doesn't really need that money. Well, what if Joe is contributing his resources back to the family because everybody else is working minimum wage jobs?
Hmm.
I mean, how do you make these exceptions?
Otherwise, individuals are saying, look, let's let the market go ahead and set the minimum wage rate. In other words, there may not be many businesses out there today that are paying $7.25 an hour, and I don't know, but I suspect that, and I see signs all over the place in food service and things like that that are talking, oh, it's going to be $8 an hour, $8.50 an hour, whatever. Let the market go ahead and set the rate. What's the matter with that?
Well, I guess if you've got a libertarian view about things, then why are we giving money through the economic development to different entities to drag them into the state? Let the market drag them into the state. You know, why are we taking and saying we're going to do tax cuts for large property owners like Walmart or other big companies? Let's let the market make those determinations. It's like you can't have this both ways.
Mm, interesting stuff. Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about minimum wage. Some call it a livable wage. This has been a big topic nationally. Ken, is it getting resonance here in Iowa, you think, in various sectors?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got right now this effort going on here in Polk County. A similar effort is being pursued in Linn County. Johnson County's already entered into the process and has established a statute to that effect. And don't for a second imagine these are the only areas that we're working on. This has been a long-term effort to try to raise this minimum wage here in the state. We haven't done this since 2007.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you, but I've had a raise or two since 2007. Not as many as I'd like most of us, right?
Right.
But, you know, the people at the very bottom of the spectrum get nothing. We can't get this through the state legislature. We can't get this through the federal government. All right, well, what can we do? Because the people far and away are saying we need to do something about this. And we're getting no response from Des Moines. We're getting no response from Washington. So Tip O'Neill said, all politics are local.
Absolutely right.
That's what we're doing. We're going local with it.
So, and all of that would make sense. One of the other things that I think that maybe the discussion, and we haven't had this part, but the trickle-down effect of a livable wage. I mean, I've heard individuals say that, well, you know, more people will have more jingle in their pocket, they'll spend more, that individuals that are on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder tend to spend 98% of what they make on living.
Hey, guess what? These people aren't stashing their money in the Cayman Islands. They're putting the money back into the community. They're paying bills. They're supporting Main Street businesses. The money that goes back into the economy is a good thing for everybody because it supports the tax base, which is our schools. It supports our communities. You know, this money isn't getting wasted. You talked earlier about, well, you know, we're going to have $80 Happy Meals. Oh, come on, please. Look at the comparison between Wisconsin and Minnesota divided by a river. Two different wage rates, exactly the same cost of a Big Mac.
Isn't that interesting? Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, he is on the commission that is studying a minimum wage increase, potentially, for the citizens and businesses here in Polk County. Thanks so very much for coming by and
doing
this.
Happy to be here, Michael.
All right. Ken Sager, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much. We're going to have to step aside. Speaking of money, we're going to have to take a look at what's going on today on Wall Street. What happened? Stocks go up, stocks go down, stay the same. We'll tell you more when we come back. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.